Well, tonight we're going to be back in our overflow. We're kind of, Wednesday nights is becoming what I'm calling an overflow. And there's so much in the book of Colossians. And so I want to keep going with that. And I hope that you've been blessed by it and you've been praying the prayer of Colossians there at the beginning. I hope you've been refreshing your mind on the truths that we've been talking about. I love it when somebody comes up to me afterwards and says, I didn't get that point. Can you tell me what that is again? And I love that. That happens. And so that means you're listening, and I'm glad for that. So we're going to go back to verse 13 of Colossians 1. It's something that we talked about two Sundays ago, but I feel like I really want to tune back into that verse. So I'm going to go ahead and read the prayer again so that we just kind of get up to speed. And some of you are new, and if you're new among us, we're really glad you're here. I hope that you'll give us a chance to get to know you. There's a little guest card in the seat pocket in front of you, and if you take it out, you can give it to me or Grace, or you can put it in the black boxes outside the door, and we would love to know who you are. We'll be able to get back in touch with you and tell you more about what God's doing here at our church and how we can pray for you. Please tell us how to pray for you. So let's look at the prayer that Paul prayed for the Colossians again in chapter 1, starting in verse 9. Paul says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." And everybody said, amen. So I got a text today from a brother in the church. Just, you know, he prays for me on a regular basis. But today he sent me the text and he said, "I'm praying Colossians 1, 9 through 13 for you today." And that brought a lot of comfort to my heart. Do you know why? Because I know what this says. We've been studying it. You've been studying it. So I know then what he's praying for me. And I thought, today I needed that. I need those words on my behalf. And just the thought that somebody in the church was praying that for me brought me great comfort. And I'm trusting that God did stuff that I may not even know about as a result of the answer to that prayer. I know he was praying in God's will because it's scripture. And so I was greatly blessed. So I tell you that to say, pray this for each other. And let each other know you're praying it for each other. Put their name in there. Read it word for word and pray it. And then let it, as we've said, let it springboard you into more prayer. Let it inform your praise. Let it jumpstart your prayers. Let it kind of show you what God's interested in. And then you can pray beyond the text, and it'll help you pray for each other. So I'm going to keep saying that because I really think it's one thing for you all to say, oh, yeah, that's really cool. Well, I'm glad you think it's cool, but let's do it. Amen? That's important. Okay, so two Sundays ago, we looked at this tremendous transition in verses 12 and 13 as before he moves into his description on the essence of who Jesus is, which we started last week. I gave the introduction to the essence of Jesus starting in verse 15. But I want to go back to the transition and remember the three things, the three wonderful realities of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And let's say them together. They're on the screen in yellow. He has qualified us, rescued us, transferred us. Those three truths are so foundational to our salvation and to our encouragement. He qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. We talked about that. He rescued us from the domain of darkness. I want to delve into that some more tonight. And he transferred us into the kingdom, or to the kingdom of his beloved Son. What wonderful truth. If you wanted to know what God is interested in your life, how God thinks towards you, what as a believer, what he's done for you, what he's interested in, what he wants you to know. Remember, this is scripture. He wanted you to know it. So he told you this. He didn't just do it and then not tell you. He wanted you to know it. And there's a reason for you to know it, because when you know it, it changes you. It changes your view of God. It changes your view of your Christian life. It changes everything. So that's why I wanted to review that. because I think just hearing it once will only impress you, but it might not transform you. Hear what I just said. If you are only impressed with Scripture, you may not be transformed by it. If for a fleeting moment you go, oh, I like that, and then you don't think about it again, you don't let it burn down into your soul, you don't meditate on it, then it may not transform your life. And so I want it to transform us. And that's why Romans 12 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed, changed by the renewing of your mind. The way your life changes and the way your thoughts change is when your mind is renewed. Getting old thoughts out and new thoughts in. And notice it's a command to us. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have to do this. You can't do it without God. You can't do it without the truth that renews your mind. But you have a part in this. We have a part in the transformation of our lives by the renewing of our minds. And so that's what we want to do. We want to get the old thoughts out. So thoughts like, I will never measure up to God's qualifications. I'll never measure up. So what's the use? Another thought that needs to be replaced. My life is hopelessly destined for the perils and the shipwreck of a sinful pattern, maybe that you're struggling with. Or you may say, I'm stuck in this sinful body and I don't know if I will ever make it into God's kingdom. Maybe you're struggling with the assurance of your salvation, even though you've put your faith, you've put your trust in Christ. You're still plagued with those thoughts. Those are the old thoughts. What are the new thoughts that need to be renewed? Well, they come right out of our text. The new thought is, and should be, God's word on whatever the matter is, right? The new thought of 12 and 13, verses 12 through 13 is, the new thought is this. Here's a new thought. I'm qualified because of Christ in me. I've been rescued from the domain of darkness. New thought. I have been transferred into the kingdom of his beloved son. That is my position in the eyes of God. That's the truth. And that thought changes us. We're qualified, rescued, and transferred. We're changed in our lives when we renew our minds with the truth. And then that directs our behavior. Now, there's a lot of ways you can apply like these truths. Qualified, rescued, transferred. A lot of ways you can apply them. But if we apply it to our struggle with whatever sin is trying to dominate us, then we can see it lived out, worked out in our lives. So let me take the focus for a minute onto the second element of the transition. The second element is this. In verse 12, he says, he qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in life, for he, here's the key, he rescued us from the domain of darkness. Let's say those words. Rescued us from the domain of darkness. That's the reality. That's the truth. Now, we went over this a couple Sundays ago, but I want us to take the overflow. Remember, this is an overflow time to look at it. In Christ and through Christ, we have been rescued. In other words, delivered. Maybe we'd say escaped. What? The domain of darkness. What is domain? If you remember, the domain is the rule, the authority, the jurisdiction of darkness, or the jurisdiction or the authority of evil, Satan's realm, the control of the evil flesh of our lives. All the things of darkness, the Bible says that we have been rescued from the domain, the authority of these evil things that swirl around us all the time. And we said that this is the truth about which we is ours in the inheritance we have of the saints in light. It's for everyone who believes. Now, being transformed by that kind of truth is something we have to believe. It's one thing for God to say it. You've got to believe it. And the great thing is God assists us in that belief. He generates faith in us, and then we can believe it. And then there's the application of that belief. Now, I want to keep this connected to Romans 12, too, as well, where it says that we've been transformed by the renewing our minds. So being transformed by that kind of truth, and specifically that he rescued us from the domain of darkness, is where I want to hang out for a little bit and to talk about it. So we have this old thought, right? We have the old thought, stuck in sin, stuck in the power of sin. Sometimes we feel like there's no hope that we're ever going to be able to change or get out of this. But the new thought that replaces the old thought is to believe that I have been, you have been, I'm going to put it in first person for me, I have been delivered from the domain and the control of sin and evil. How could I make such a statement? Because God said that. God said that about me as a believer in Jesus Christ. I have been rescued from the domain of darkness. That's not something I have to wonder about. It's true. Okay? So that the old thought that I'm stuck in sin and its power is replaced by the new thought. I'm renewed in my thought that God has delivered me and rescued me from the domain and the control of sin and evil. That is the truth. But what good is the truth if I don't know it, or I don't believe it, or don't rehearse it to the point of life change? And that's where our effort, our perseverance, our movement comes into play. And somehow in the economy of God, we would never take credit for that because we have to do something. We recognize that every good thing that we do comes from the Lord's hand. But there comes a point where we have to make a decision to believe something. And this is the thing we want to believe, the truth of God's word. In this particular case, among all the wonderful things God has given us, what we're focusing on tonight is that he rescued us from the domain of darkness. We're taking that phrase from the Bible and saying, okay, hold it up in front of you and ask yourself, do you know what it says? Are you aware that this is true? Do you believe it? And are you going to act on it? That's where we're going tonight. So I really believe that this is part of what Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 32, when he said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. I think he was speaking of his word, as we're going to see. And then he was also speaking of his word later. Do you notice that it's future? You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So he was talking about something that was going to happen in the future. You will know the truth, the future element. What will you know in the future? Well, among other things, you will know the reality, Jesus would have said, of what I'm doing right now. They didn't understand it at the time. You're going to know, you're going to see it. You're going to go, oh, yes, he had to die. Yes, he had to rise from the dead. They couldn't see that at the time. You will know the truth. It's coming. You're going to get it, and that truth is going to set you free. And when he died on the cross, they still didn't understand it. And Jesus was saying, at first you will be depressed, but later you guys are going to understand what I did by dying, and you will have a fuller explanation for the church, because you're the apostles. And you will come to understand a lot of things, and one of them is that my coming in the flesh and dying and rising and living in you will, this is one thing you're going to get, all of that that I'm getting ready to do, that will rescue you from the domain of darkness. That's coming. In other words, you will not be controlled by sin and Satan, but you will be set free to live out from underneath and get out from underneath this darkness. In other words, you won't have to sin. Can you imagine what a radical thought that would have been for them at the time, before the cross? The time's coming, Peter, when you won't have to sin. You will not have to sin. You will be set free, and the domain of darkness will be broken over your life, and you will not have to sin. Peter came to understand that, and that reality would have set him free. And all the other apostles, they would begin teaching, they would begin writing, and all the things that they were writing, that we're reading right now, tonight, these are the things, the truth is coming, and it's going to set you free. So let's look at that for a moment. Go back to John 8. I want you to see the context of Jesus' statement about that. It says in verse 31, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. If you do what I say, if you believe what I say and do what I say, then you'll prove yourself to be disciples of mine. And you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. So who is he talking to? People who believed. They didn't have the full understanding yet. He hasn't died yet. But he's giving them the few. If you stay, if you keep following my word, you're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to set you free. Now, there were some other people there who did not believe. In verse 33, they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak these things which I have seen with my father. Therefore, you also do the things that you heard from your father." Now, once again, Jesus is laying it down hard on him. But did you notice at the beginning the hope to those who would believe? You're going to get the truth, and when the truth comes into your life, it's going to set you free. And what is that truth? His word. His word. My words, if they remain in you, you will be set free indeed. So Jesus made it clear that knowing the truth was tied to living in freedom. Clearly, that is the true element of the gospel, is it not? You know the provision of God through Christ. You embrace that truth in faith and trust, and God applies that truth to your life in redemption. He imputes to you the righteousness of Christ, and in that sense, you are set free in being justified before a holy God. That is your justification. You are set free from your condemnation of your sin. But God is also interested in your sanctification. He's interested in you being delivered from the power of sin throughout the time that you live on the earth. And that's a process. It doesn't mean you become perfect in everything right away. You're growing. You're maturing. You're learning. You're casting off the old patterns and you're bringing on the new. And so God is interested in changing you and making you holy. And so being set free, here it is, from the domain of darkness has a very practical application. It's not just a theological reality that you can say, "Oh, I like the way that sounds. Rescued from the domain of darkness. That feels good to me." Well, why does that feel good to you? It needs to feel good to you because of the reality of what it's saying, that you've been rescued from the control of evil. And that will get very practical really fast, because you're going to be tempted to sin. You're going to be lured into the world's thinking. You're going to have old patterns that have to be changed. And what God is saying to us here is that all of that is possible, and all of that is a reality for you because, not because you try harder, not because you're trying to be a better person, because God rescued you from the domain of darkness in Jesus Christ. So, it means that the rule and authority of sin and Satan over the life of a believer has been deposed. It's been overthrown. It's been unseated. It's been dismissed. And this is what allows some other passages of Scripture to be true for us. So I want to take the rest of our time to look at some other passages of Scripture that show us this in deeper form, okay? So I want to connect an often repeated text here with Colossians 1:13, rescued from the domain of darkness, and keeping that phrase in our mind, okay? So try to just stay with me. We're keeping rescued from the domain of darkness. That's our key phrase. Let's say it again. Rescued from the domain of darkness. That's our key phrase. We're going to see it in other places. And we could spend weeks, obviously, in the book of Romans. Actually, we spent 5 years in the book of Romans. But I want to let a section of Romans chapter 6 add to our arsenal, if you will, of truth in our fight with sin. And I do mean fight. When you fight, you need a weapon or you will get run over. And our weapon is what? The Word of God, right? That's our weapon, the sword of the Spirit. And remember, you will know the truth, what? And the truth will set you free when you know Christ's Word. So anyway, let's look at the connections in Romans 6. I'm going to read quite a long section of this. And, you know, obviously we could spend a long, long line than we did on Romans 6, but just kind of take it all in with Colossians 1:13, rescued from the domain of darkness, right next to this in parallel. Okay, what does Paul say? What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. I was going to wear my shirt that Alan McKay gave me tonight, and I forgot. I'm sorry, Alan. I was going to wear it. It's my polo shirt or golf shirt or whatever, and it says, what does it say? Huh? Ridiculous. Ridiculous. And we studied this. We said, if for a Christian to remain in sin just so there will be more forgiveness, to use the language of may it never be, the way we would say that is, that's ridiculous. Why would anybody stay in sin just so there will be more grace? No way, Paul said. That's ridiculous. And then he gives a reason why that's ridiculous. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Oh, so you mean when I became a Christian, I died to sin? Yes. You may not have known that phrase, but if you're putting your faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sin, that your sin might be fully dealt with at the cross, you have died to the life of sin. Or do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ, didn't say baptized into water, he's talking about a spiritual baptism, those who have been baptized into Christ, you've been immersed into Christ, you have been baptized into his death. Therefore, we have been buried with him through this baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, what about us? So we too might walk in what? Newness of life, the transformed life, a different kind of life. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we will also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Jesus' death and resurrection is our death and resurrection. It's as sure as his. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be, what? Slaves to sin. If the Son has set you free, you will be free indeed. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's the language of the New Testament, slavery and freedom, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe we'll also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. How does that relate to me? Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. See, there's the truth. Consider means think. Consider means believe. Consider means apply what Jesus has done to your life. Consider yourself dead to sin, but alive to God. And then he gets more practical. Therefore, do not let sin reign or rule in your mortal body so that you would obey its lusts. Now, apply that word reign to the word domain in Colossians 1:13. Right? He rescued us from the domain, the authority, the rule, the power of sin and darkness and Satan over our lives. Why would you not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you would obey its lusts? Because you have been, what? Rescued from that domain. It doesn't have a power over you. And do not go on presenting, you know, don't run out there and get in the way of the sinful patterns. Do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God, to those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Don't put your body out there to do all the evil things. On the other hand, present your body to God as an instrument of righteousness. And here's how and why you can do that. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. That's a similar way of saying, why would you not sin? Why would you fight the sin? Why would you not present yourselves as instruments of unrighteousness? Why would you present yourself to God as an instrument of righteousness? Because the domain of darkness has been broken over your life. You've been rescued from that. So you see how what Paul said in Colossians relates to what he says in Romans. There's a continuity that flows through the Bible that is profound. It's not just Romans 6. What about Romans 8? Keeping in mind, we've been rescued from the domain of darkness. Therefore, Paul said, again, in Romans 8:1, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That verse changed my life. I have a sermon that I preached when I was in seminary, 1,000 years ago. It's called A Big Little Word. Do you know what the big little word is? No. There is now how much condemnation? No condemnation. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That thought and reality set me free. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. When I knew that truth, it set me free. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free, there it is again, from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. There was a condemnation of my sin. Jesus took it. He condemned my sin in his flesh. So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, not to the sinful flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you're living according to the flesh, you must die. But if you are living by the Spirit and are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. And the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may be glorified with him. You see that all the connections there to Colossians 1, the idea of the being an heir, right? We've been given an inheritance in the saints in light. That's been given to us by grace. And you have not received a spirit of slavery, of fear again. You've been given freedom. How is all that possible? Because in the death of Jesus Christ, in God calling you to himself and granting you faith and redeeming your life and imputing his righteousness to you, you have been rescued from the domain, the power, the control, the authority of sin in your life. And knowing that is really important. You've got to know that. There's a practical side to being saved and how you think. And what you fill your mind with affects how you live. So if you've been struggling in an area of your life of sin, as we all do, whatever that area is, more than likely you have not applied the truth of your salvation to that area of your life. And if you do, if you're a believer, if you're in the fight with sin, he doesn't say that you are justified by fighting for sin. He says, if you're fighting sin, if you're at war with your sin, if you don't want it and you want righteousness, knowing that you're not perfect, but you're in that fight, that's an indicator that you've been justified. If you're not in that fight, you're not saved. If you don't care, if you're not in the fight with sin and it doesn't matter to you how you live, or you're just going to do whatever you want to do, well, that's an indication that you haven't been justified. You haven't been born again, because when you are, God changes you. He transforms you, and he puts that fight in you. It's stronger at times in our life than others, but it's got to be there. So, what makes all that possible? Rescued from the domain of darkness. That's our position. Okay, here's another one. Romans 13. Where we're hitting all the big ones. Romans 13. Listen to it in light of Colossians 1. Verse 11. Do this, knowing the time, that it is ready, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. Wake up, for now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. Well, that makes sense. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of what? Darkness. We've been rescued from the domain of darkness. Oh yeah, same word. Lay aside the deeds of darkness, put on the armor of light, truth. Light is always related to God's moral perfection. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. Now that hits us where we're at. That's the reality of the lives that we have to live. And it's not just the sin of sexual things, even though that's usually listed because it's a big deal. But notice strife and jealousy. You know, some people may not be living out sexual sin, but they think, well, I'm good. I'm not doing anything sexually wrong. But they sow strife, gossip, jealous. It's all there. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, to be clear, this overcoming of sin, this killing of sin, as John Owen called it, is not something that justifies you. You're not justified by killing sin, but it is the evidence or result that you have been justified, as we said. But this idea of killing sin, it's very biblical. It's very biblical. I mean, here's just three verses. I already mentioned one of them. Romans 8:13. If you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Notice that. There's an active putting to death of our sinful, not our bodies, not putting our bodies to death, putting the sin principle in our body to death. Galatians 5:24. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified, that's putting to death, crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Colossians 3:5, which we're going to talk about in several weeks. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Did you see all that? Putting it to death? So now here is the connection to Colossians 1:13. We have been rescued from the domain of darkness. All this killing of sin, this command to kill sin, and the privilege, really, of killing sin, is only possible, listen to this, is only possible if God has done something to rescue us from the power of sin and Satan. You can't kill sin if God hasn't already defanged the sin principle in your life, if he hasn't already dethroned it. And I don't think we will ever live in that freedom without the knowledge that we have been rescued from the domain of darkness. That's the starting point. Now, whether you knew those words or not, you have to believe that or you will never win the fight. So what I'm saying is if you're ever going to win over the sins that tend to get to you, we have to start with the transformed thinking about what has really happened when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We need to really know what happened there if we're going to win this fight. We have been rescued from that power of sin and Satan. And on a practical level, I think this is a conscious part of our fight with sin. Conscious part. I think it comes down, I really do think it comes down to renewing your mind with the truth of your rescued position when you are tempted to sin. I mean, this is when it's happening, okay? Whatever the sin is, and I'm not going to bring out one person's sin over another. Whatever the sin is, whatever the temptation is, whatever the weakness is that you tend to have, everything from the sexual side to the unforgiveness, to the anger and hostility, to the lack of faith, to the fear that should not be there, whatever it may be, to the uncontrolled tongue, to the bitter heart, whatever. I think it comes down to renewing your mind with the truth that you are a rescued person when you're tempted to sin. From a military point of view, when you think about that reality, I have been rescued from the domain of darkness, from a firearm position, you know, like war, it's like that's locked and loaded. You're ready. You filled your heart and your mind with the truth. Your weapon is ready. And the firing of that round directly at the sin you are being tempted with, I think it really can come down to a mental, verbal application. I mean, real time. You're in the fight. You're about to do this thing that's evil, whatever it may be. And that can come upon you over days. That can come upon you over seconds. Seconds. You're about to say that thing that you shouldn't say, and you know it. And you have that moment of grace when the firing of that round needs to be done. And what is it that you're doing? It is that you are you are actually aware of the truth of God's word and you're applying it. So you're being tempted to do something you know is evil, and having already put the bullet in your gun, you've already got it ready. You've already got it ready, already rehearsed the truth. I have been rescued from the domain of darkness. That is the reality that I live in. And now it's time. Sin is at the door, right? And you're tempted to seethe in anger at someone who is making your life difficult. You're tempted to act out some sexual sin. You're tempted to say something about someone you know is wrong and hurtful. You're tempted to cheat on an exam or your taxes. You're tempted to go along with something everyone else is doing, but you know good and well that it's evil. Whatever that temptation you are being drawn into that can come upon you over days or seconds, as I said, you can pull the trigger and kill the sin with the word of God. I don't have to do that. I have been rescued from the domain of darkness and the control of darkness. I don't have to sin. I think it comes down to actually saying that, verbally or internally or whatever. I think it comes down to really using the words of the Bible to help us in that fight. And some of the words you can use are right here in Colossians 1, 12 through 13. You can say the words. I think you should. You do it ahead of time so that they're in your mind. And then at the moment of truth, that's when you unload the Bible into your situation. But here's one more practical tactic that I think can help and has helped me so many times. When you are applying the Bible to killing a sin in your life, and you're tempted to live out that sin, and you remember, wait a minute, I don't have to do this. This power of sin has been broken. You rehearse the truth that gives you strength and to overcome. And I want to add one more word to your fight. You know what the word is? No. No. That's the fastest word you can say. That word wraps up so much theology for you if your mind is filled with the truth of everything we've been saying. It is a shorthand approach to saying, I don't have to do this. And it has helped me so many times in the midst of that moment. Sometimes it's been alarming to whoever was with me. No. No. No what? Never mind. I don't have to do this. No! I will not do this because I have been rescued by Jesus from the power of Satan. So it's something you can add to your fight and using the truth. Now, don't leave it only there. I think there's more to it than just no. But the no is the definitive exclamation of what is true of you. And praise God, you can do that. And by the way, I think it's good. When you're in the middle of that fight, you say, no, I've been rescued from the domain of darkness. I don't have to do this. There's even more to it. You can start to sing a praise song. You can make a phone call. You can do the opposite of whatever you're tempted to do. You're about to slip out a juicy tidbit of gossip about someone else. No. No, say that. Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. And then you do just the opposite. You say something positive about that person, proving that you're killing sin and promoting righteousness. What do you need to say no to? Think about it. Everybody's got their stuff. What do you need to say no to? Can I just say saying no is not enough, but it's an important start. No mixed with the Bible is a powerful weapon against sin and darkness in your life. And it all comes back to the great reality that I have been rescued from the domain of darkness. No, no. I have been rescued. I have been set free from the control of sin and Satan in my life. I don't have to do this. I don't have to live that way. I don't have to go there. I don't have to think that. I don't have to act that out. I don't have to, because I've been rescued from the domain of darkness. So I hope that you find that helpful and practical. The question is, what are we going to do with that? And I think it'd be pretty neat, not to trivialize it, but between now and next Wednesday, I want to encourage you to say, okay, you know, this is what our pastor came up with. I was there. I'm going to do that. I'm going to transform my thinking. I'm going to renew my mind and get an old thought out and get a new thought in. I'm going to apply what I heard. I'm going to say no to whatever the sin that's going to come. And you will get the opportunity, I promise. And I'm going to consciously, even verbally, say, I have been rescued from the domain of darkness. I don't have to do this. Wouldn't it be a great testimony to the Lord of the multiple things that could be applied to where God would get the glory in your life? Let's say it again. Rescued from the domain of darkness. One more time. Rescued from the domain of darkness. Praise God. Lord, we need your help to apply what we've heard tonight. Please, Lord, help us not to just be impressed. Help us to be transformed. Help us to renew our minds. Help us to believe this phrase, because it's really the foundation of the truth that sets us free. Lord, I can only think how excited Paul was when he realized this reality. He had to know it to write it down. And somewhere in his life, he realized, I've been set free and rescued from the domain of darkness. Lord, let us discover it again tonight as if we had never heard it, and maybe even to think in terms of the Apostle Paul hearing it for the first time. Oh, Father, would you let the word be fresh and strong in our minds, that we would not just be Christians who have accepted some truths of salvation that we've boiled down to realities that don't really make us think. Help us to think. And so, Lord, I pray that you would take us to a new place tonight. Give the overflow that we need. And guide us as we come back to your book on Sunday, as we look into the glorious truth of who you are. I pray for everyone here tonight to have a good evening, good rest of the week. I pray you'd meet them at their greatest needs. I pray that good remembrance would take place, and that we could say no based on truth and win the battle with our sin. Guide us and bless us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.